Father, we thank you again for this family, and I pray it be something to be memorable. I pray something that as the children go up before them, they can remind them the day that they thank God for that which had to do through procreation, and for two people come together in love and produce an offspring, which no one else will ever be just like it. It's like the created being of God through the womb of a mother to bring into a child that's in the likeness of God himself. And Father, we pray tonight this will be a memorable time. They can always, when they go through life, to realize they committed themselves to you because they were thankful for this child, and ask God to help them have an atmosphere for the child to be raised in so they would come to know you one of these days in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you look in 1 Samuel, and you can read all of this later, chapter 1, verses 5 through 28, there's a character in there. And, of course, the lady's name is Hannah, and she has a husband who's Elkanah. He had two wives, Peninnah, I guess you'd pronounce it Peninnah, also could have children. Hannah could not have children. And because of that, she was very disturbed. It brought a distress in the family. She could not have children. If you read this chapter, we don't have time to read off just a few places in it. She's decided one time that she was going to ask God through the priest in the temple to have a child. And in turn, as they prayed about that, she said, God, if you give me a child, bless his heart, that's all right. Amen. Amen. You know, take good idea to tape this so one day when they get a little older, you say, look what you did that night, what a preacher was preaching. Just say, well, she'd probably say, I was rejoicing in. Or I guess it's a he, isn't it? No, it's a she. I got it right. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so here, Hannah does that. If you look at this chapter and quick go through, you'll find she went to the temple. She was in agony. She was praying. She was praying to God in silence with her mouth was moving. And the priest saw her. And if you look in verse 14, he thought that she had been hitting the bottle a little bit. She was intoxicated. But she said, no, no, sir, that's not it. As a matter of fact, I promised God something. And so when you look through the scriptures, you find that through this story, Eli prayed, told her she would have a son. And if you look with me in verse 24, and of course she did have down, the son was born, and you look in 25, she called his name Samuel. And then in verse 24, it said, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord of Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thou so livest, my Lord, I am a woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I pray, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Well, we know that's Old Testament. We go to Psalm 127 in verse 3. The psalmist said, Solomon, as he spoke, wrote this, Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. The word heritage means it was like a property that one has, and he actually passes on to someone else. In this case, passed on to the mother and dad through procreation in natural birth to raise him from the Lord. And he says that every child is a heritage from the Lord. He's also said in verse 5, Happy is the man that hath this quiver full of them, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, if I move over into the New Testament to understand a little more, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Ephesians, as he wrote to the church at Ephesus, he said in verse chapter 6 and verse 1, Children, obey your parents as in the Lord, for this is right. Now, in the English today, there's a lot of rebellion against parents. But God said it's children. Children, when they're in the home, parents have a right if it's the things in the Lord. Notice he classified this as in the Lord. Those things that God has set out and those things that God has said to be done should be taught to the children. And he said, as long as they're children, to obey your parents. And then he said, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The fifth commandment is honor thy father and mother, but the first commandment of promise is that we're to do that. And he said that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, notice, obey while you're in the home growing up, honor when you get on your own in your own family. And God has set that up, honor in the Lord, that which God has said. It's always right to stand on the principle of God's word even with our children. And they need to see somebody who loves God enough to stand on those principles, because in the end result, only thing to happen that would be worth anyhow is what they did for God. And we, therefore, the first line of defense should be the parents. And then I see, he said in verse 4, he said, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath," that is, don't stir them up to angry in discipline, "but yet discipline them in admonition of the Lord." That's like what they call a mild rebuke. Sometimes they have to have the instructions from God through his word, and you can't deviate from that. And then the last part I want to look at in Matthew chapter 10, and Jesus says this in verse 37 and 38. Notice he said in 37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth me is not worthy of me." The verse 37, somebody said, "Well, the Lord's kind of hung up on himself." No, the Lord's saying that which he deserves. That is, he's to be first. And if you have God first in your home, you have to have him in what you give your children to be first in the home, and therefore not deviate from that. You cannot, listen, God wants you to be their parent, not their friend. You hear me? And that's very important. So now I want to talk about what is baby dedication then, because we need to understand what is this, because we can read into it some things that they may cover everything. In fact, when I started years ago, I thought if I dedicated my children to the Lord, that meant they're going to come out, they're going to be preachers or whatever, they're going to serve God. But I realized that I couldn't make them get saved. They had to come to that themselves. So while there are not many examples of child dedication in the Bible, there is one that's well known here, Hannah and Elkanah, and Hannah was his wife. And for years, she could not bear a child for a husband. In 1 Samuel 1:5-17, one day in the tabernacle, she poured out her heart to God and begged and pleaded with him and gave a vow that if he would give her a son, she'd give him back to his whole life. Eli the priest assumed that she was drinking and intoxicated, and he began to scold her for what she was doing. And she said that she was not drunk and told Eli the story. In verse 17, God granted her what she asked for. And she kept her promise. And we see in the latter verses I just read to you, she kept her promise and brought her son named Samuel to the tabernacle for Eli to raise. Now, hold on just a minute. You're not bringing them here for us to dedicate, for us to raise. That's your responsibility. But it is our responsibility as the church to help you set the example who God is. And so now, it's obvious that there is not a lot of direct biblical instructions when it comes to dedicating a child to God in the Bible. So because of that, for clarity, I want to look at a couple of things that what baby dedication is not. And please hear this. Baby dedication is not baptism. Because baptism is a symbol of an individual's choice to respond to God by faith, by placing their faith in him as their personal Savior. And it's obvious these children are not old enough to understand that. So they can't make a decision for God now. But the day will come that they will come to that age where they can. A baby dedication is not saving them. This has nothing to do about saving. It may create an atmosphere where they can get saved better. But when you talk about this, sometimes they say, "We're baptized when they're young," and automatically puts them in the family of God. No, it takes a birth to put them into the family of God, just like it takes a birth to get into this world. And water is no more than just a symbol of what happens in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. This doesn't guarantee them a face in heaven. This tonight, dedication doesn't make your child more likely to become a Christian, but it can set up an atmosphere that where they can become a Christian better than they would be if this was not done and we didn't practice what God asked us what to do in life. Baby dedication is not even about the babies. Baby dedication is about the parents. They are a heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb, he said. So what we do here tonight is kind of like a wedding, because a wedding is about a promise between two people who went together, fell in love with each other, and decided, you know what, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And so what happens is, before your wedding, each spouse decided that you loved each other and wanted to care for each other for the rest of your lives. And you really felt that way. Well, there's nothing like that first love. And when you find yourself there, so to seal your choice, you came together publicly with families and friends and made a promise and a covenant before God and before those friends. And God takes the promises seriously. Because, ladies and gentlemen, such promises are the core making true the promise in an act of faith towards God. So when you keep in mind that on your wedding day, the question was not, do you love each other? Of course you do. If you didn't, you wouldn't be saying your marriage vows. But that love up front is bringing together that you want to commit yourself before God and promise that you're going to give each other to each other in the presence of God. And so the question is, would you love each other to death do you part? Would you keep your promise to God and each other even on the days when you don't feel like keeping your promise? Because the marriage vow says you're going to have some good days and you're going to have some bad days. And I hope that you have more good days than you have bad days. But God says, two people come together, live under one roof. Of course, you're going to have a lot of problems, but if you don't find, let God be in the center. So the question today is not, do you want to raise your child to know and love Jesus Christ? No, sir. The question is today is, will you live and raise them in a way that supports the type of desire for them biblically? Consequences for going against God's will catch up with you sooner or later when we go against God's will. So when I understand this thing about dedication, it helps me understand it's more for me and my wife, or before the husband and wife, that they realize who that child is. Oh, God may have used you to matter of fact or through procreation, but he still says it's a heritage of the Lord. The Bible says that, and that's God's word. So what does it mean to give your child to God? Well, let me give you about four things quickly. Giving your child to God is a confirmation of your love for God. That's the reason you decide to do that. I love God enough that I realize how much I need him to raise this child which he's loaned to me and put in my responsibility to teach him about the things of God and find the church that would teach them about the things of God. So in that growing up from the day they're born till they get to get on their own, they'll have an atmosphere not only at home with mother and dad, but in the church also where they're at to know that we're together on this thing to want them to have the best that God has to offer. And that's salvation to start with in their lives. And so the first thing that you are saying when you give your child back to God is simply this, that you love God even more than you love your child. Now, please understand that. God's already said, Jesus said that you should love him more than others. Why? Because God is always first, folks. He's always first. And by the way, he deserves it. He deserves it. God is even more than you love him more than you do your child. Your child's the most prized possession that you have, but don't allow them to take the place of God. You love your child, no doubt about that. You love him so much, you say that I want the very best for my child. If that means giving him back to God, that means correcting them, that means giving them, watching them out about their limitation, that means holding the line for them. If it means changing even my life for them, I want to do what it takes to let them see God's real. And he causes us, though you can't see him with your physical eye, you see the evidence of him, and in turn you do and try to walk by faith before him. This is like what Abraham proved by willing to offer Isaac on Mount Moriah. He was demonstrating that his love and fear of God was supreme life in his life as he walked this out of eternity. And Abraham loved God above the most prized treasure in his life. He was willing to even go to the point, and by the way, God will never cause you to do this. Our son's already died for us. But he was willing to go in the book of Genesis to the point of actually giving his son's life back to God, which is in terms of the type of Jesus coming one day in the future symbolically, that if it meant giving him, that God could raise him from the dead. And by the way, he hasn't asked anyone else to do that because God gave his only begotten son that we might have life. So Abraham loved God above the most prized treasure of his life. The reason for that, he realized that this was confirmation of his love towards God. Number two, giving your children to God is a clarification of ownership. It's really saying, Lord, I know this. I'm thankful for the child you give me, but you said they were yours, and you gave me the privilege to raise this child for your glory. When you give your child back to God, you're openly declaring the child is a gift from God. This child does not really belong to me. This child belongs to God. And God, you give me the privilege to have a beautiful child young boy, a young girl, they don't even know they're in the life at this moment, but just moving in the activity they move in life, you give me the privilege to be able to raise this child for your glory. And this was what was happening to Abraham's mind. They're enjoying it. Just let them enjoy it. Amen. Amen. So when he laid Isaac on that altar, he was not, was he not saying, Lord, this young man belongs to you, not me. He was saying, you do with him what you please. If this is what you want me to do, I want to do it if you say do it. And God said, I see that you wouldn't hold your child back from me. You believe that what I've done for you to have this child, though you don't see all the mechanics behind why I asked you to do this, you was willing to do it, and therefore you love him. But you love me more than you love him, and because you love me, you're willing to do for him what is necessary, or her what is necessary for her. So this little boy and girl does not really belong to you. They belong to God. They are a precious gift from God on loan. Psalms 127, verse 3 again said, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Procreation is God's image given to you and me to raise. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't it a wonderful thing that God would let us have such a beautiful creature as this and charge us to raise him in the fear and admonition of the Lord? What an amazing thing. And so we better be careful how we treat God's property. So when you talk about this, God did not, listen to me folks, God did not authorize the state to raise our children. God did not authorize the daycare centers to raise our children. They're good to help us in life. God Almighty authorized mamas and dads to raise kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Contrary to what politicians would tell us today, it does not take a village or a position somewhere or another or location somewhere or outside of the home to raise a child. Thank God when we leave them at places we know that we'll be given things of God, but he brings it to us as parents, first of all, to do what God. It takes a mom and dad to raise a child. And it takes a saved mom and dad to raise a child in turn to give him what God has to say. An unsaved person has mixed notions of who their God is. So not only is dedicating your child as a confirmation and a clarification, but giving your child to God, also it's a commitment to raise your children in God's way. Ephesians 4:6-4 says, we're to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To give your child to God is not just a ceremony. It's a commitment. It's just not something to do and say, boy, and I did that. It's a commitment. And it is a commitment that you're going to be a godly parent. You're going to keep your child in a godly church. You're going to love your child with the love that they can see God in you. You're going to pray for that child. You're going to train that child. You're going to stay married for that child. You're going to make a home for a holy place for that child. You're going to put away worldliness. You're going to live a righteousness for God and this child. So they can see, you know, boy, I didn't understand my mother and dad a lot. But now that I'm older and have the place to fill a place of an adult and a mother and dad, I thank God I had a Christian mother and dad. Many say that. I didn't have a Christian mother and dad when I was raised up. But I remember many times that my dad told me his mother was a devout Christian before she died, before he's the age of 13 years old. And he kept him in church. And though he wouldn't go to church and though he was not saved, he made us go to church. And by the way, I'm glad he did. Some people say, well, I'm never going to church again. My parents made me. I'm glad he made me because I'd probably never got saved if he had not made me go to church. Did you know that I got saved first in our family? My other family got saved. And for my dad died at 65 and he died at 87. He got saved and lived for God the rest of his life. So it's an important thing to understand what's going on when we commit ourselves. Again, I think some people see baby dedication as a magical ceremony. This little ceremony means zero if you're not making a sincere, lifelong commitment to raise your children around God's holy word. It's important that we do that. I like what Joshua said. You know that story in Joshua 24:14-15. He made the statement years ago about what he would do in his family. And we've used it many, many times, but it always blesses my heart to read it again. He says in verse 14 of chapter 24, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And he said, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt and serve ye the Lord. He said, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But he speak for his house. He said, whether it be gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's a commitment that God gives. That kind of commitment God is looking for in parents. He or she may rebel, and many times they do. But God has made the promise that if they do, they will sooner or later suffer consequences, and sooner or later he's promised to bring them back to that which they come up in. Giving your children to God is also claiming of God's plan and promise for this child. Your children are blessed by your obedience to God, and cause you or are cursed by disobedience. And of course, the Bible teaches us that you stack the odds in their favor when you bring them up in the ways of the Lord. So as you obey God with your life, and as you give your child back to God that he's given you, you're promising that child to receive God's very best in his life. And you're claiming the promise that God said in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up the child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a wonderful thing, because most children will kick out the harness. You raise them in an atmosphere, and they don't know what is in the world. And then suddenly they get on their own in the world, and they're facing things they never had to face before. And because they have to face those things, it sounds not so bad. It's like Eve when Satan came to her and said, hey, you know, what about that tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Oh, he said, God said not touch that. If you do, you die. Oh, God's hiding something from me. You enjoy the things of the flesh. And by the way, this world does enjoy the flesh for a season. But it always has a penalty for it. So this is what it means to give your child to God. It's a confirmation of your supreme love for God and for Christ. It's a clarification ownership of God that God owns this child. It's a commitment to raise the child in the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is claiming God's best plan promised for the child. This is exactly what Abraham did when he offered Isaac in Mount Moriah on the altar. So Abraham was confirming his love and fear of Jehovah. He was clarifying that Isaac really belonged to God. Abraham was committing to be a godly parent. Abraham was claiming God's plan and promise for Isaac. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. We dedicated our children many years ago. They've not always been what they should be, but I'll tell you this, God has proved he always brought those who went astray back. Because God's word is true. They have to respond to that. And you can mark it down. This is what you're doing tonight. You're confirming your love for God. You are clarifying that the child belongs to God. You are committing to try to be a good, godly parent. Listen, you read all the books you want to about how to raise a child. And you can get some good things. But I guarantee you, every child is different. Every child is different. And God will have to give you prayer. Stuff in the Word to bring you to a point to work with that child around the Word of God so they can learn, thus saith the Lord, and walk by faith. It's committing to be a godly parent, and then you're claiming God's plan and promise for your child. And I congratulate you, and I exhort you to some degree in the sense you're doing what God says to do because you love the child. And I've got news for you. God also loves you. And so tonight, we thank you so much for coming here and honoring the Lord and bringing your child to be dedicated. So this time, we'll meet right down to the front. If you will come stand right up here in front of this, and I'll go to each one. And if they cry a little bit, don't worry about that. Amen. There you go. Come right on, if you will. All three at one time. Stand here, and I'll just go down. And if you just give me the first name so I can be sure I don't get mixed up. Aaron. Aaron. I know. Look at him laugh. Bless his heart. I know he don't understand. Yeah. Bless your heart. Oh, my. Bless his heart. I know in his head that he may have the knowledge that God would give him through the years to know about God and his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know his hands because that's where we work in life. And may he be used for God's glory to serve him. And we anoint his feet that he may learn to walk with God through his life. And may he understand that this day is a day when his parents showed how much they loved him and how much they loved his Lord. And it's our prayer one day that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And it's our prayer maybe that you'll be one that God would raise up to be a minister in these last days to tell this world about the wonderful Savior. And always remember, your mother and dad gave you back to God because they loved him just like they loved you. In his name. Brian, we anoint your head with oil. That's where you learn about God and the knowledge of this world. We anoint your hands because that's where you work with God. And you serve him. You can't drink it, though. We anoint your feet because you walk with him. And we want you to know that God, your parents loved you enough to say, I thank you, Lord, for this child. And I pray that the day will come, you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And maybe also in these last days, because your parents loved you enough to give you back to the Lord and ask him to help them raise you, that you would come a minister of the gospel of Christ to help reach this world in these last days. That's your heart. You better laugh. You laughed at me this morning. I'll anoint your head with oil. No, and that's where the knowledge of God will come as your parents raise you around God and his word. We anoint your hands because that's how you work for God and use your talents for his glory. We anoint your feet because we pray that you walk with God through your life. And may you, when you grow up, that God will let you understand how much your mother and dad loved you, to give you back to him because he gave you to them. And in turn, it might be one day you would come a wife to a ministry, that whereas you'd be a helpmate for someone who's God called in these last days to tell this wonderful world about our wonderful Savior. And you would be a help to him in some ways that God already sees the plan for your life. And when you get older, you remember that your mother and dad gave you back to God because they loved him and because they loved you. May we pray together, our Heavenly Father. Lord, we stand here today and we thank you. I know each one of these parents desire to think the best for their children, but only you see the end results. Father, we know now you see each one of these where they'll be at now, a few years from now, if you don't come back for the church. We pray tonight because these have showed their love towards you to give their children back to you, that you would help them, raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. They mildly rebuke them when they need to be rebuked and realize sometimes they may try to kick out the traces, but that simply means then, Lord, they can't agree with them when they do that. They do, then that would be their own thing. They need to see there's a standard in their home that's always for God first. And when that happens, that's going to bring about something in life, which they'll look back one day when they get older and say, I'm so glad that my mother and dad stood the test, because there's consequences to everything we do to go against God. I pray you give them the grace and the knowledge. And Lord, each one of these parents are going to learn something they didn't know before. We have to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and also realize that when we have children, that's a great responsibility. And Lord, sometimes when children are born, it breaks some parents' heart. But if they raise them in the Lord and see to it and keep Christ before them and they come to know Christ as Savior, God has told us that he would still bring them back. And I believe that. But you can't bring one back unless they know you, unless they've been born into the family of God. Now they've been born physically. Lord, we long for the day to see they come to know you and be born spiritually and become not only a child of each one of these families, but a child of God. And they learn as their parents surrender to you one day, if you let them have children and have the blessing of a home, they would see the need and why their children should be given back to God. Their inheritance from God, and we have the wonderful responsibility to raise them. Bless the mother, bless the dad. And dear Father, again, we realize that when two people come together, the child should never take the place between the husband and wife. They should always love each other with equal love. The child should not be that which would disrupt that love. But the two together should be that the child will see. Mother and dad love each other. Therefore, they can love me. And they'll thank them one day, because when they look at this, they know nothing about now. They say, "That's a wonderful thing. My mother and dad dedicated me to the Lord. And I didn't know nothing about it. And now I understand it, because now I'm a child of God." And we're going to thank you for that and praise you even now. For you see all things from the beginning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.